أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Reflections on the Risale-i Nur by Bediüzzaman Said Nursi podcast series. In this episode, inshallah, we are going to read the second station of the 14th flash. Now, we are reading the book, the words, sözler, the words. However, right after the first word, Bediüzzaman Said Nursi, Üstad Nursi, inserted this relatively small section, which is from the book, the flashes. Second station of the 14th flash, because of its closeness in subject to the first word. It is relatively more difficult than to understand than the first word, as well as at least the following 7 to 8 words. Coming right after the first word, it gives a taste, almost taste of how deep, how profound a reading of the Risale-i Nur can get. We get the taste, a little bit of the taste, but we will leave it there thereafter. We are going to start from the foundations. Bismillah is the first foundation, and then we will read about the meaning of being a slave to God. We will read about the prayer, 5 daily prayers. We will read about what does this entire universe, our existence in this universe mean, and so on and so forth. And then gradually it gets deeper and deeper. This at the beginning, however, will give us a small taste of that profound, the profound meanings that one can be inspired by, have access to by reading the Risale-i Nur. And then we will gradually build back to it. If we do not understand everything that is mentioned, that is elaborated on in this treatise, that is okay. As a principle, if we do not understand everything in any treatise, that is okay, because those who have listened to the introduction provided on the reflections-rn.org website will remember, having read there or having listened to there, that we do not read the Risale-i Nur just once and assume that we understood it, we read it. It is a book that one reads continually. And each time we read it, other sections that we have understood prepares us for sections, themes, concepts that we have not recognized or understood yet in our previous readings. Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. 14. Lem'anın ikinci makamı, makam münasebetiyle buraya alınmıştır. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim'in binler esrarından altı sırrına dairdir. The second station of the 14th flash. This, which has been included here, because of its relevance, concerns 6 of the thousands of mysteries contained in Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of God, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Here we will have a little side note. When Üstad Nursi says, concerns 6 of the thousands of mysteries contained in the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, this is adab. This is proper etiquette. Before the Quran, before the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does not say, "This is the meaning of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I have the ability to understand it to its full extent. You have to think of it the way I think, or you are wrong because what I have is what is right." He is not saying this. He is saying, six of the thousands of mysteries contained. Whenever he does an exegesis, he either says it explicitly or you understand it from the context. This is one of the meanings of this verse. This is one of the meanings of this word in this verse that I have understood. You can listen to it and judge in your mind. If you agree, take it. If you don't agree, use your judgment. The Quran issues from the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God is infinite. The Quran reflects the entire creation. The Quran has everything in the creation in it. And this is not just me saying it. It is based on hadith, based on the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the scholars thereafter. Each verse is like a branch of a tree that then further branches into twigs, that then further branches into, you know, smaller shoots, and then there are knots on the twigs and shoots, and then the leaves, and then if you think of it, you know, it keeps going on, it keeps branching based on the preparedness of the person who is listening, based on the purity of the heart and the need of the person that is listening, and based on God's grace at that moment to this person. It expands. It's expansive with an A in the middle. Therefore, Ustad Nursi is saying what will come is, or concerns, six of the thousands of mysteries, meanings contained in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mystery is an okay translation. We could also use secret, which I think is a better translation. So let's say concern six of the thousands of secret meanings contained in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Secret in the sense that it is there, it is contained in there, but it is not explicitly open to everyone at all moments. It comes, it is sent, it's inspired to us, to the readers of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in accordance with the circumstances of the moment, our preparedness, again, our the purity of our heart, the openness of our heart, the need that we are in, and the whether we have asked for it, so on and so forth. Ihtar. So Ustad Nursi, when he introduced this section into the book words, added this warning or note to the beginning of the second station of the 14th flash. Bismillahirrahmanirrahimin, yani Besmele'nin, rahmet noktasında parlak bir nuru sönük aklıma uzaktan göründü. Onu kendi nefsim için nota suretinde kaydetmek istedim. Ve 20-30 kadar sırlar ile o nurun etrafında bir daire çevirmek ile avlamak ve zapt etmek arzu ettim. Fakat maatteessüf, şimdilik o arzuma tam muvafak olamadım. 20-30'dan 5-6'ya indi. Note or warning. A bright light from Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, or as this phrase is shortened in the Islamic tradition, Basmala. A bright light from Basmala concerning divine mercy. So the word here for mercy is Rahma. This is a word that we should learn, Rahma. Concerning divine mercy, or concerning Rahma, appeared to my dull mind from afar. I wanted to record it for myself in the form of notes. Elsewhere, Bediüzzaman Üstad Nursi talks about this subject. Meanings come to us in different forms. Light, the light of meanings come to us in different forms, and we cannot just capture them. They are like light, they are like air, they are like water. You open yourself to them and they come to your heart without a form. When they first come, they come without form, and then that inspiration in the heart, that light in the heart, needs to go through the intellect and imagination and be articulated in forms, in words, in this case. So what he's saying is, some of the meanings of some of the secrets of Besmele were inspired to me. I was ready, and then these meanings, came to me. And I wanted to capture them. I wanted to record them. I wanted to put them into form to be able to remember them thereafter, and also to communicate. I wanted to record it or them for myself in the form of notes, and to hunt it down, hunt those meanings down and capture them, and circumscribe the light, so the whole light, with 20 to 30 secrets, 20 to 30 notes, right? So he thinks that light could produce 20 to 30 topics of explanation. But unfortunately, I was not able to do this at the present time, and the 20 or 30 secrets were reduced to 5 or 6. So what will come is 5 or 6 topics of explanation, secrets, as he says, about the meaning of Besmele. Ey insan dediğim vakit nefsini murad ediyorum. When I say, oh man, there will be addresses in the text. Oh man, oh man. When I say, oh man, I mean myself. Bu ders kendi nefsime has iken, ruhan benimle münasebettar ve nefsi nefsimden daha hüşyar zatlara belki medar istifade olur niyetiyle 14. lemanın ikinci makamı olarak müdakkik kardeşlerimin tasviplerine havale ediyorum. This again is adab, etiquette, proper etiquette. Listen to this. First of all, when I say, oh man, I mean myself. This is the first etiquette, right? We talked about this before. I mean myself. We address these to ourselves, not to other people. We read it because we need it. We read it because we want to know God. We want to learn about God. We want to excel in the knowledge of, in our knowledge of God. We want to draw closer to God. In the meanwhile, if these meanings are useful for other people, all the better. We can draw closer to God, and we can become a community, and we can support each other, help each other in drawing closer to God. Right? But first and foremost, we need to recognize that we need it. At the moment, if we felt like, I'm done, I arrived at the point that one needs to arrive, I don't need to excel further, I don't need to go further, I'm at the furthest gate. At the moment we think this, we strayed away from the path to the knowledge of God. Because that path, a foundational etiquette of journeying on that path is maintaining humility and modesty, because we understand that we are nothing except by the blessings of God. Right? So we address ourselves. And while this lesson is directed particularly to my own soul, I refer it as the second station of the 14th flash. Listen here. for the approval of my meticulous brothers. Everybody around Bediüzzaman Said Nursi, Üstad Nursi at this point considered him the giant of his time. Giant in knowledge. They were around him to learn from him. They were not around him to evaluate what he said. But what does he say? I submitted to my meticulous brothers for their approval. Notice the humility that Ustad Nursi has. And this is, he's not doing this artificially. He's not doing this because he thinks that he needs to be humble. Therefore, this is the proper way to send it out. No. He has ikhlas. Again, if we remember from the introduction of the reflections-rn.org website, ikhlas, purity in purpose, purity in intention, purity in action, sincerity in intention and action, right? These are secrets of success in spiritual affairs, in drawing closer to God. And the fact that Ustad Nursi has come so close to the essence of those meanings indicates that he has ikhlas. Therefore, there is no conceit in this, there is no showing off in this, there is no artificialness in this. He is saying, I am submitting it to my meticulous brothers for their approval, in the hope that it may benefit those with whom I am connected spiritually. If you have an interest in knowing God, drawing closer to God, if we feel that need, we are connected with Bediüzzaman Said Nursi spiritually. This is the point of connection. Because he was devoted to that purpose. So in the hope that it may benefit those with whom I am connected spiritually and whose souls are more prudent than mine. This lesson looks to the heart. Now let me read this in Turkish first. Bu ders akıldan ziyade kalbe bakar, delilden ziyade zevke nazırdır. This lesson looks to the heart more than the mind, and it regards spiritual pleasure rather than rational proofs. And this is also important. Risale-i Nur is a masterpiece of rational thinking. It is a masterpiece of logical reasoning. It is a masterpiece of lining up proofs one after another so that the subject that is being discussed is clear, crystal clear to those who read it with understanding. But this is not all about knowing God and drawing closer to God. It also has the experiential aspect to it, which needs to be preserved on the path, because not everything about knowing God is possible to articulate in words and forms, right? And the Risale-i Nur contains that too. Again, when I said at the beginning, this will give us a small taste of more profound, deep, and inspirational meanings, this is partly what I mean. The Risale-i Nur is a book of kalam, a book of theology, dialectical theology, but it is also a book of tasawwuf, purification of the heart and disciplining the compulsive soul. It gives us a taste of those experiences, and then we feel the need to have more of it, more of it, more of it, and we then keep drawing in that direction. and purifying ourselves so that we can expose ourselves more to those meanings. Okay. And therefore, you know, to repeat this, in the Risale-i Nur, we find rational proofs, but we also find spiritual pleasure, delight. Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قالت يا أيها الملأ إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And this of course is the verse from Surah At-Tawbah, where the phrase Basmala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is mentioned in the text of a chapter of the Quran. And the meaning is, as offered in one translation that I have right now in front of me, the queen said, and this is Queen of Sheba, the queen said, O chiefs, here is delivered to me a letter worthy of respect. It is from Sulaiman, Solomon, alayhi salam, and it is as follows, in the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. This was the beginning of the letter that Sulaiman alayhi salam sent to the queen of Saba or Sheba. And what will follow is inspired from the recitation of this verse. And therefore it is an exegesis of this verse. It is a compilation of meanings inspired by God with this verse. The first secret. Birinci sır. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim'in bir cilvesini şöyle gördüm ki, kainat simasında, arz simasında ve insan simasında birbiri içinde birbirinin numunesini gösteren üç sikke-i rububiyet var. I saw one of the manifestations of Basmala, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, as follows. Now the word for manifestation here is cilve, and it is a word that is good to know, good to recognize in the original Turkish too, because in Üstad Nursi's usage and in general in tasawwuf literature, Sufi literature, it has a peculiar connotation to it. Literally, it means manifestation might be a word, or if we think of, let's say, the sun is, in the sky, high in the sky, and the light, its light is really bright, and we look at a flowing, somewhat wavy, the surface of a somewhat wavy lake, and then we see light shimmering there. That each twinkle in that shimmering is a cilve. So it's twinkling, shimmering, might be a literal translation, but the connotation that we will refer to in the text of the Risale-i Nur and in general in the Sufi literature is something along the lines of the manifestations, individual manifestations of the names of God. And we need to explain this a bit more. The concept of the manifestation of God's names will keep coming in our reading of the Risale-i Nur, and inshallah it will become clear. But to try to put it simply, let's say we see a tree. The tree has a physical, body that we see and touch and maybe smell and observe. That actually in its reality is a manifestation of many of God's names and attributes. He is the creator. The creation reflects his qualities, his attributes. One example might be that God is Matin, he is the firm. That is why the stem of that tree is so firm. That's a manifestation of God's name Al-Mateen. God is Ar-Razzaq, God is the provider. That is why and how this tree is being nourished. It is stuck wherever it is stuck. It cannot move. When it needs nutrition, it cannot run after nutrition, but the nutrition is being brought to it. Or the provision is being brought to it, because it's not only about the minerals and chemicals that it is sucking up from the soil. It's also the oxygen in the air. It's also the sunlight. It's all being brought to it, right? And this is a manifestation of Ar-Razzaq, the provider. And it is also a manifestation of Ar-Rahman, the merciful, because this is a response to the need that the tree is and demonstrating with its lisan hal, tongue of disposition, as we mentioned in our reading of the first word. So this is a manifestation. And if you think all of the trees, all of the plants, all of the living objects and everything actually in the creation manifest Ar-Rahman, the merciful. They manifest Ar-Razzaq because they are all provided with something, right? So the name Ar-Razzaq then manifests itself in the entire creation, and that is the manifestation. But then there are slight variations and occurrences of that manifestation, and that we will call a jilve. So the individual occasions of manifestation we will call jilve, and then the variations, it's another word that will come up, naqish is what Bediüzzaman Said Nursi uses, and literally it means embroidery. But the variations in those individual occasions of manifestation of the names and attributes of God, we will refer to that as naqish or embroidery. That can be other ways to render it in English. So, I saw one of the jilves, one of the occasions of manifestation of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, as follows. On the face of the cosmos, kainat, or universe, on the face of the earth, and on the face of man, are three stamps of rububiyyah. Rububiyyah. Again, a word to learn. It comes from the word rabb. Rab is the one who owns, possesses, has the rights over, and also takes care of, attends to the needs of something. A father and mother, the head of a household, is the Rab of that household, for instance. This person owns the house. This person has custody over, let's say, the children in the house, is responsible for the house and whoever dwells in it, and also takes care of them. So it has two aspects to it. One is ownership, but the other is caring. So when we translate Rab, we can translate it as caring master, right? But it is very difficult to make a noun indicating the position of a Rab from two words like caring master. So in order to compensate for that, we are going to use the word lordship. In the translation that I am using right now in order to read, Shukran Wahida's translation, may God be pleased with her, she used the word dominicality, which has, you know, special meanings, especially connotations, especially in Catholicism. I don't think that it is a fully appropriate rendering of the word rububiyyat. So I will provide this explanation, and from time to time I will refer to it. The word rububiyyat comes from the word rab, which means caring master, and the position and station of a rab is rububiyyah, which inshallah I think we can translate as lordship. So on the face of the cosmos, the universe, on the face of the earth, and on the face of man, mankind, human beings, are three stamps of lordship, one within the other. These are concentric stamps. They are not, you know, separate individual. They are on the face of each of these things, and they are concentric, one within the other, and each showing samples of the others, each reflecting the other. So there's a stamp in the universe, and when we move down to the earth is obviously a part of the universe. Therefore, whatever stamp is on earth is also in the universe. And then we move further down to humankind, and mankind are on the earth. They are part of this globe that we call the earth, and therefore the stamps on their face are also on the earth. So these are concentric one, and they each reflect one another. The stamp that we see on the face of the universe, right, is connected to the stamp that we see on the face of mankind. This may not be fully clear yet. It will become clear, inshallah. We will open up what this means. The first, the second, the third.
Biri kainatın heyeti mecmuasındaki teavün, tesanüt, teanuk, tecavüpten tezahür eden sikkeyi kübrayı uluhiyettir. Ki Bismillah ona bakıyor.
So there is a stamp, a great stamp on the that is manifest on the totality of the universe, and it becomes apparent to us when we observe the mutual assistance, cooperation, embracing, and congruence, harmony of all things that are in the universe. And this stamp, Bediüzzaman refers to as the great stamp of Uluhiyye. And this is a word that we should also learn that corresponds to the word Rububiyye. Right? Uluhiyye comes from the word Ilah. And Ilah is deity or God. And when we use it for God, it means ilah, ilah, ilahi, or ilah. It means the deity that is worthy of worship. All other deities are not worthy of worship. And therefore, when we use the word God, we use it with a capital to refer to Allah. We use it with a capital G. So ilah, when we use it to refer to God, is God with a capital G. And Uluhiyye again is a word that renders, that indicates the position and station of God in relation to his creation. It can be translated as Godship. Shukran Wahide translated as Godhead, right? I cannot think of a really good translation for this word, and therefore I prefer to use the word Uluhiyye. Okay? And then occasionally I'm going to use one of the other words in order to make it more clear for those who are not exposed to the Islamic terminology too much, and therefore may not understand what this may mean. So to go back,
There is a stamp on the totality of manifest on the totality of the universe, the cosmos, that becomes apparent when we observe the ta'awun, mutual assistance of all things in the universe, their cooperation, their embracing of each other, and their responsiveness to each other. Tajawub, responsiveness to each other might be a better word. Corresponding is, you know, how Shukran Vaidya translated it. That's also okay. But tajawub comes from the word jawab, which means answer or response. So tajawub might maybe better be translated as responsiveness. There is a great stamp of uluhiyyah, Godhood, on the totality of the universe that becomes apparent through an observation of the mutual assistance, cooperation, embracing, and responsiveness of all things that are in the universe. Now, what does this mean? And to finish, Bismillah ona bakıyor. Bismillah, Besmele, in the name of God, looks to it, indicates it, and is indicated by it. What does this mean? If we think of the more prevalent now understanding of how things in the universe function based on an observation of the modern discourses, what we might think is that there is a constant struggle in the universe. Survival of the fittest. You know, this is not a new idea. It has been there for a very, very long time, but it became really prevalent and famous since the publication of Darwin's book and ideas, right? Survival of the fittest. Put two species, you know, peas and beans, in an environment, in a habitat, put them on a large pot, peas and beans, and wait for, you know, some time. What you will see is that whichever is more fit into that context is going to dominate, and the other is going to wean and disappear from the scene. The wolves will eat the rabbits, and if the rabbits cannot adapt to this and continue their existence despite being eaten by the wolves, they will disappear from the habitat. Whoever can use the resources of the habitat in the most efficient way is going to propagate. This is the idea of the survival of the fittest, and it is like a zero-sum game. My livelihood depends on how much I can take away from your livelihood. This is not what we see out there in the universe when we look at it as believers, not only Muslims, believers. The word that we use for the universe or cosmos or kainat in Turkish that we use for the more proper word to use here to render the word kainat in Turkish, the totality of the universe, the totality of the cosmos, the word that is kainat is actually cosmos, because cosmos, the word cosmos relates, corresponds to, and also the antonym for, in a sense, the antonym for chaos. We are referring to everything together in totality, but we can look and see chaos there, or we can look and see harmony there. When we look and conceptualize it, comprehend it in the harmony that it has, and it does have harmony, we refer to it as cosmos. So there's harmony in the universe. It's not all about in each species taking away from the livelihood of another. No, they are all owned. They are all created and designed and put in place by a creator who has a plan. And that some are made provision for others is part of the plan. And in their submission to their Lord, to their eternal owner, each and every species is actually serving the continuity of the totality together. And they're happy to do this. The sheep that we slaughter and eat the meat of, if we do this with the proper etiquette, if we slaughter in the name of God, if we treat the animal well before we, slaughter it, if we keep it clean, and if we eat it in the name of God, if we contemplate the blessing in it, and if we say Alhamdulillah at the end, if we show gratitude to God, right, we become deserving of paradise, and through us, the body, the cells, the existence of that sheep also reaches paradise, and this is something good. Desirable for the sheep. And even if it were not, there is pleasure for everything in the creation in fulfilling their duties that are assigned to them by their Lord. The stars are happy to be in the firmament. The sun is happy to burn with such ferociousness and to produce so much heat and light and to send it to us so that we can see the beauty in this on the face of this earth and thank God and praise God for it. The earth is happy to be rotating around the sun and causing or becoming the means, being the means for the changes in seasons, the humidity, the oxygen, all the conditions that are necessary in order for the plants and animals and human beings to exist on its face. It is happy. It is grateful. It's joyful. The entire creation is in a state of joy because they are fulfilling their duties that are assigned to them by their Lord. And in fulfilling their duties, they are helping one another to continue to exist. If you look at the very, very small picture of a wolf eating the rabbit, we might see some struggle. But if we see the big picture of everything in existence being dependent on one another in order to continue their existence, we see mutual assistance, we see cooperation, we see the embracing, and we see the responsiveness. Now, why is this a stamp? Well, if everything was left to its own, then we would see the survival of the fittest, and that's where the problem starts. It is starting from a philosophical, from a cosmological position, assuming that each and everything is on its own, and therefore it proceeds to think that everything is in constant struggle with one another, and it's the world of the survival of the fittest. If we start from the position of no, everything belongs to one God, and He is in charge, and He is moving everything, He is administering everything, He is the executor in what we see in execution, then we see, oh, He put the rabbit there because He put the wolf there, and he knows that the wolf needs provision, and He has mercy to the wolf, and therefore He put the rabbit there, and the wolf is going to eat the rabbit, and this is not showing mercy to the rabbit, because the rabbit is, as a species, there is a spirit that represents the entirety of the species of rabbits, right? As species, the rabbit is in a state of joy for being there. Its animal soul is enjoying the carrot. Its spirit, its manifestation in the world of meanings. And these are concepts that we will open up later on better, inshallah. The manifestation of the species of rabbits in the world of meanings is in a state of joy for being there and being even for being eaten by the wolf, because they served their lords, their ilahs, their gods' purpose in providing the wolf. If the wolf did not eat the rabbit, this would be oppression to the wolf, because the wolf does need provision. So there is one who put them together in there, and he is the one who put the lettuce there, the carrot there, the plants that the rabbit can eat there. He is the one who made the earth soft, but at the same time firm, so that the rabbit can dig its burrow. God made the earth in that way. And this is provision for the rabbit. And the earth is in a state of joy because it is providing a fellow creation by giving its nutrition to the lettuce and carrot, and by opening its chest to provide a house, a place to dwell in, to the rabbit. So the harmony, the responsiveness, the mutual assistance, cooperation we see in the entire creation points to what? Points to Bismillah, the God, the Master is one. There's one master that's in charge of everything. Things are not on their own. Things are in a state of submission. Everything is in a state, is in a state of glorifying God. فَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is nothing out there that is not in a state of praising the Lord, praising and glorifying the Lord, glorifying God. Okay. The second, ikincisi, küre-i arz simasında nebatat ve hayvanatın tedbir ve terbiye ve idaresindeki teşabüh, tenasüb, intizam, insicam, lütuf ve merhametten tezahür eden sikke-i kübra-i rahmaniyettir ki Bismillahirrahman ona bakıyor. The second is the great stamp of divine mercifulness. Now the word for mercifulness in Turkish and Arabic is of course Ar-Rahman. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. If you break this up, be ism with the name or in the name or by the name, okay, of Allah, God, Ar-Rahman, the merciful, Ar-Rahim, the mercy giver or the compassionate. And Ustad Nursi here is going in stages. He looked at the entirety of the cosmos, and there he saw the stamp of Bismillah in the name of God. He saw the stamp of Godhead, Uluhiyyah. And now he is looking at the face of the earth, right? In the second is the great stamp of divine mercifulness, which is manifest through the mutual resemblance and proportion and order and harmony and favor and compassion and the disposal, raising, caring for, and administration of plants and animals on the face of the earth, the living objects, animate beings on the face of the earth. So what did he see among animate beings, among plants and animals? He saw tashabuh, resemblance. Is there resemblance among animate beings? Yes. If you look around, some of them are very obvious and maybe more limited in their propagation. Like most animals have eyes, right? They resemble to one another. If I saw a picture somewhere, a painting somewhere, and in another place I saw another painting, and there were some, you know, obvious similarities between the two. Like if you think of Van Gogh's paintings, you see those little dabs of yellows going. It's a technique. You don't see it, you know, elsewhere. Maybe it existed elsewhere, but we see it very apparently and, you know, famously in the paintings of Van Gogh. It's a technique that's out there. So when I see a picture with those little dabs of yellows in a painting, and I see it in another picture, I say, oh, this must be by the same painter, right? Okay, so we see mutual resemblance. All animals, or most animals, have eyes, and then all animate beings have organisms that are you know, born, that grow, that mature, that use provision in order to exist, and then there is an excess of provision, and that's disposed of, and then, you know, this keeps going on, and then they reproduce. There's a resemblance among all animal beings, animals and plants. Okay? What next? There is tanasub. This is difficult to translate. The, you know, Shukran Vahide translation is proportion, which is okay. But what it means is very similar to, you know, correspondence, actually. There is tanasub, like what they fit one another. The earth has a 23 plus degree angle when it, you know, circumambulates around the sun, and that angle, right, fits to the needs of the living objects on the face of the earth. That's that angle provides for the necessary cold for the polar bear, and for the necessary heat for you know, a tropical animal. If that angle was not 23 degrees, but let's say 10 degrees, it would not fit the needs of the animals on the face of the earth, as they are in their particular assigned proper places. And then again, there is a fit between the living animate beings. The plants in a particular habitat are perfect for the animals that live in that habitat. God was capable of putting the polar bear in the tropical context, but still making it need to eat seals. And the polar bear would suffer there. And we see this sometimes in zoos. When animal, when human will is involved in existence, and this has a wisdom, but because humans have partial will, sometimes they ruin things. They break this correspondence. And then if you continue Sadhnosi says, intizam, orderliness, insijam, harmony. And maybe harmony, and also like we see that things are functioning in a smooth way, one after the other. And favor, lütuf, he sees, let's say, in the fact that in the spring there are those flowers blossoming and then they turn into fruits and the birds come and eat those fruits. There is a favor from the tree that produces the fruit to the bird that comes and eat it. And compassion and mercy in all of this, in the provision of each other's needs between animate beings, he sees mercy being manifest. Yet when human will intervenes, sometimes we ruin all that, you know, harmony and smoothness and favor and so on and so forth. And you know, things are known by their opposites. By intervening in things and ruining them, if we observe it with an open mind and with a keen eye, we see that, wow, mashallah, there was harmony, there is harmony, there is correspondence, there is resemblance, there is smoothness, there is favor, there is compassion. And by breaking it at these occasions, we know that it exists, because if we just looked at dazzling white light, we would not see anything. It is unfortunate that sometimes they put a polar bear in a zoo and you can go there and see that the animal is suffering. But you know, we can learn something from this. And Ustad Nursi is saying that all of this is manifesting or indicating Bismillahir Rahman, in the name of God, the merciful, because we can see that there is mercy that is shown to all these animate beings in providing their needs, in the way they are provided for. Everything is provided for. The stars are provided with fuel. So that's their rizq, right? That's why these circles are concentric. They exist within one another. But here it is more manifest. When we look at the living objects, animate beings, we see that mercy is that provision in the form of mercy, or provision issuing from mercy, is more manifest. That is why he is saying that the second stamp, a great stamp on the face of the animate beings together. All right, it has been almost an hour. Inshallah, we will stop there. And in our next episode, we will continue with the third stamp of the first secret of Besmele that we are reading in the second station of the 14th flash. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الفاتحة